Well, good evening. Once again, I'm a grateful believer in Jesus Christ, finding victory over my addiction to alcohol, and my name is Jack.
Hi.
Hello. So tonight, as I say, after our little departure or detour last week where we looked at St. Patrick, on St. Patrick's Day, we're going to resume our teaching series to kind of keep us on schedule, as we've got some good guest teachers coming up and some great in-person testimonies coming up, and I didn't want to move people all around. So we're going to do 3 weeks of teaching, last week St. Patrick, this week Spiritual Inventory Part 1, and next week is the sequel, or maybe I'll make it a prequel because that seems to be the hip thing to do these days. So you'll find out about me from birth or something like that. So Spiritual Inventory Part 1 is our lesson tonight, and we're in this section in our teaching series where we're looking at really going inside of ourselves to cleanse, essentially. And so we talked about sponsor, and that's going to be a key person. Sponsor and accountability partners, key people in your lives to be able to cleanse too, because we talk about, and we'll just read them here in just a little bit, sharing this information with ourselves, of course, honestly, another person, and with God. So sponsors and accountability partners fill that role. Jim taught on moral, because we start already kind of hitting us with this idea of this is not pretend, this is not made for TV, this is you in real, and it's going to be ugly in some parts, but we always talk about the balance in your life, the good that's in you, the good that you've done. We don't want to forget that. That makes up the whole you, so really looking at the whole you. And then as we move into these next two lessons, we're just really trying to giving you more tips or hints of how do I go inside? How do I do that appropriately and create an inventory? Or for those of you that have done an inventory in recovery, you may be looking at what do I want to continue working on? What do I need to re-inventory? I think last time I taught this lesson, I shared with you my retail work experience where we would inventory these big box hardware stores every year. Not just once every 5 years or once every 7 years, but every year. And if the building was really out of control, it might be every 6 months, where we're knowing, where is this stuff going? Did we sell it? Did it disappear? So we're kind of getting in touch with where our stuff is. And sometimes it's way, way back deep in a shelf somewhere that we may have even forgot. You know, it's like when you put that thing in the super secret place. You want to, you know, not forget where you put it, but so it's going to be special, and then you forget it, you know, and stumble across it. So we're going to be kind of trying to dig into those areas of our life with our inventory. So the next 2 weeks, or tonight and next week, just going to be looking at some tips on how you go about doing that. So we'll start with our principle and our step tonight. We're in principle 4 and step 4. Principle 4 says to openly examine and confess my faults to myself, to God, and to someone I trust. And the beatitude, as I mentioned earlier, that we're going to be looking at or kind of complements that is Matthew 5:8, happy are the pure in heart. And in our step tonight, step 4 as well, we made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. And that word fearless is important because it's going to test you. Because if you have God with you, if you have Jesus on your side, you can be fearless in this. If you begin to get fearful, and we'll even touch on it a little bit tonight, that's when you start to shut down. That's when you start to perhaps even move yourself all the way back to denial. That's when you stop, keep coming back, all that. So we want you to be fearless in this. And the only way you can truly do that is to know that you've got the God of the universe in you, behind you, in front of you, all around you. The scripture that goes with that, Lamentations 3:40, let us examine our ways and test them, and let us return to the Lord. That's the secret. That's the secret of the fearlessness. So I just want to kind of back up. Happy are the pure in heart, the beatitude, Matthew 5:8. What does that mean? Or what does it mean for our teaching tonight? What it means is, I did a Bible study for some men not too many weeks ago on the Beatitudes, just looking at them because they're just an important part of my life because of this program. They're probably an important part of my life for other reasons too, but I interact with them more frequently than, let's say, the average person does. And when we look at happy are the pure in heart, I believe the rest of the verse goes, for they will see God or something like that. What it's focusing on is what, remember, Jesus started his Sermon on the Mount with the Beatitudes. And Jesus doesn't do things haphazardly. He decided to start with the Beatitudes and the Sermon on the Mount because he wanted to set the table. And so he started talking about, right off the bat, happy are the poor in spirit. Let's get everybody straight on what you need to do to walk with me. When we get to happy are the pure in heart, it lets us know, as if you didn't already, that Jesus is far more concerned with the heart condition than he is with our externals. And that's the key to the inventory process as well, is we need to get to the heart of the matter, as they say. And we need to not look at the actions as much as what's driving those actions. Because it says in many places in Scripture, it talks about the heart being that root, you know, of what comes out of your mouth, of what your body does. So a number of the things that we have done or maybe are still struggling with that makes us decide maybe I should swing by Rolling Hills on a Wednesday night is because of the heart condition. And Jesus is always more concerned with our heart than he is our actions. That's not to say he doesn't care about what we do. In fact, the two go hand in hand. If we align our heart with Jesus, if we do that, then our actions will begin to reflect that. We really will be an image bearer of God. The thing that I run into problems with is when my heart's not connected and I'm trying to just do an action because it's the right thing to do or supposedly I'm going to look a certain way. And that gets into kind of character. And we talk about in this lesson this idea of kind of these three different characters that we all have within us. We have this character that we exhibit. So that's what other people see, essentially, what we're doing, okay? We also have the character that we think we have. And see, I have a very high opinion of myself. That's one of the reasons I'm in recovery, because it's too high of myself. That's one of the reasons I say that if I had not been an alcoholic, I would not have come to Jesus. My opinion was far too high of myself to need Jesus before this little alcohol thing got in the way, and I couldn't overcome it. With all of my greatness and magnificence, I could not overcome it. So the character that we think we have, who I think I am, and then we finally have the character that we really are. And that's the heart part. That's where we want to become, in other words, who we think we are, and that character we exhibit really should be who we are. Now, if you're like me, you say, well, I don't want the world to see that. Okay, that's why I denied, that's why I hid, that's why I drank, or whatever. It may be your character defect. But Jesus says, no, I want your heart to be aligned with me. And if that happens, if you focus on that character of who you think you're supposed to be, that's going to naturally come. That's called transformation. I think I've shared with you before, for years, I wanted to be the type of guy that could go into the prison system maybe and share the gospel and share this program. Well, first of all, I was an atheist, so that was a little bit of a stumbling block. Second of all, I was a drunk. That was a bit of a stumbling block. But I wanted to be viewed by other people as the kind of guy that would feed the homeless and go into the prisons, okay? And I even kind of maybe bought into that myself, that I would do that if the opportunity arose or something like that. It's more like I was going to be incarcerated than actually going in voluntarily. So that idea of I wanted, and then sometimes I try to create that image out there. I try to pretend to be that person, but my heart was not there. So that's what we're looking at, is getting our heart aligned with who we are, and that beatitude of happy are the pure in heart, because when our hearts do align with Jesus, we are, of course, happier. We are living in compatibility with him. So tonight we're going to look at four parts of the spiritual inventory. Next week we look at another four. And so what we're looking at just is kind of a laundry list, and you've got some quick fill-ins on the handout there and some scripture verses, but you may want to take some additional notes on the back here, because I'm going to give you some, so we're going to kind of flesh out each of the four that are in this section here. as far as areas that you can go looking for, where in these areas do I need to align my heart more with Jesus? And that may then prompt you to say, well, I'm not sure where Jesus' heart is on some of these issues. So that would lead you into Scripture and to start looking at what does Jesus say about our first area tonight, relationship with others. So maybe getting to know what it is to align your heart with Jesus. And I think I mentioned it last week. These two lessons are what I consider kind of evangelizing lessons or bridge lessons, because I think we can take these eight spiritual inventory questions or traits and take these out to the larger church community that we are involved with, and I would encourage you to do so. This is where it goes from becoming a recovery program where you have to be one of those people to, this is why I go to church. This is why I'm trying to have a relationship with Jesus, because I'm trying to affect, I'm trying to have an impact on these things in my life. Don't have to be a drunk like me. You don't have to be a codependent. You don't have to be whatever, okay? If you just want to get closer to Jesus, this is what we're talking about tonight. So this is a kind of a universal tool that I think is very beneficial as we go out and share this program and have people approach us. Because if we're living this, you will have people come up to you and say, what is it about you? Why are you so weird? Why are you so different? Why are you able to smile in adversity? Why are you able to offer an encouraging word instead of griping about everything? Well, probably because your heart's aligned with Jesus. Okay, so relationship with others. So some things you want to be thinking about as you look back in your life and say, are these some areas that I need to unpack, so to speak? The first one's a big one. Who have you hurt? And you may have to go a ways back for that. It might be something that's fresh. Who have you hurt? Against whom have you been holding a grudge? Might be the same person, might be somebody different. So grudges. And when it ties into that, against whom are you possibly seeking revenge? Because a lot of times the grudge will lead you to that. Okay, so who have you hurt? I'm sorry, who has hurt you? We'll get to that one later. Who are you holding a grudge against? Who are you seeking revenge? So those are things that if all of a sudden you go, oh yeah, I know, and they deserve the revenge, so I'm justified in that. Okay, put that down. Well, we can unpack that or flesh that out later. These tend not to be traits of Jesus, grudges, revenge, things like that. Are you jealous of someone? Have you tried to justify your bad attitude by saying something like, well, if they had a better attitude, I would. Okay. Who has hurt you? And who have you hurt? Sorry. And then finally, one that I think, at least for me, creeps into my life far too easily. Who have I been critical of and perhaps gossiped about? And the two are not mutually exclusive. I can be critical of a complete stranger on the street because they look funny. You know, Jack thinks they look funny. And so then I'm going to create this whole story about them because they're wearing this or that. And I've said one of my mantras, personal mantras for trying to align my heart with Jesus is I need to love first, judge second. You probably shouldn't judge at all, but I'll take love first and then worry about it. But I tend to judge before I love. And I know that's not where Jesus is. I think he starts with love and he's going to be able to give you truth with that love. So, and then the gossiping. And we talk about that for those of you that attend CR regularly and go to small group regularly. That's one of our five small group guidelines. We don't gossip. We don't talk about each other, even when we're kind of mingling around. And even when we have to be very careful about that. Even though we share it openly in our group and I have very close bonds and many accountability partners in my men's small group, I still have to be very cautious about, well, maybe I can't remember if that conversation was just one that was in the big group. Maybe to just kind of to not get off on a tangent there. So gossip is another one that can kill us. So those things are things you might bring some things to mind when you're looking at relationships with others. The second thing we want to look at is and actually let me just, I think there's a scripture, Psalm 139. is kind of an overarching scripture for this lesson. So search me, O God, and know my heart. Test my thoughts. Point out anything you find in me that makes you sad, and lead me along the path of everlasting life. So that's, once again, trying to connect ourselves with God, but constantly coming back to God and saying, search me. Well, we need to be a part of that. It's not just like, search me, and then, you know, okay, are we done yet or not? You need to be active in that. And so by looking at these four things we're going to talk about, that's one of the ways we do that. So relationship with others. The next one, we want to look at priorities in your life. And it kind of comes down to one simple thing, and then we ask a couple of other questions around that. Is God the first priority in your life? If you're trying to connect your heart to God, and your priority is your job, or your family, or your tax burden, all important things, all things that this world that we live in demand attention from us on, but God has to come first. So is our priority God first? So if it's not, after you make the decision, after you've made, if you are a believer and you've made the decision to turn your life and your will over to the care of God, in what areas of your life are you still holding on to? I don't know, I had a great little revelation a couple nights ago, actually a couple weeks ago, in small group, but talking about this idea of I consult God, and I'm consulting him. I mean, I'm giving, like, I'm a paid consultant. Here's how you can do this, God. Or I'm saying, I'm going to do this and I'm just going to run this by you. So that's turning it over. No, it's not. That's not turning it over. That's simply saying, I'm going to do this and just want to let you know. Okay? And I realize I do that a lot under the guise in my head of thinking, that's that character of who I think I am. I think I'm turning it over. No, I'm not turning it over. I am maybe informing him of something he already knows, but I'm not turning it over to him. What have been your priorities in your job, friendships, personal goals? So once again, think about what's important to you in those things that are important to you. And where does God fit in that? Who do these priorities affect? Who do they impact? So if your priority is you're going to be the very best at what you do professionally, does that have an impact on those around you? What's good about that? Because there likely are some very good things about that. But what's not so good about that? Third one we're going to look at tonight is your attitude. So you've got relationship with others, your priorities in life, and your attitude. Ephesians 4:31. It says, get rid of all bitterness, passion, and anger. No more shouting or insults. No more hateful feelings of any sort. So how's your attitude? In what areas of your life are you ungrateful? Why does it take somebody sharing a tragedy, you know, perhaps for us to all of a sudden get gratitude? You know, that type of idea. So what in your life are you maybe ungrateful for? And I've had guys and ladies start with the very beginning, you know, I'm alive, I'm here. A few weeks ago when some of you might have been here because you didn't have power in your house, and you thought, well, there's got to be power at the church, right? Maybe it's electricity you're grateful for, the simple things. The toilet flushes when you push the thing. That's pretty cool. Okay. So you may have to start small, but get that attitude of gratitude to say, what in your past is still causing you fear or anxiety? I like what it says here in the Leader's Guide. It says, your fear imprisons you, your faith liberates you. Your fear paralyzes, your faith empowers. Fear disheartens, faith encourages. Fear sickens, faith heals. Fear is powerful and has been powerful in my life more situationally, not as a continuing thread. But boy, do I make some lousy decisions when I am fearful. And boy, do I tend to lash out at others when I am fearful. That's a go-to for me, is I'm afraid of something, so I get mad, but not at my own inability to do something, let's say, or my own fear. I'm going to get mad at you type thing. So fear is I think, a big one. In affecting my attitude. So looking at just that idea of, it said in Ephesians there, that's the piece where I talk about Jesus is far more concerned with our heart than our actions, but that attitude, how that comes out, a lot of times that's fueled by the heart. But sometimes there's another thing in recovery, you'll hear fake it until you make it. I you know, that may be overused, but it speaks to this idea of, I need to keep showing up. I need to keep being courteous to people. I need to keep doing the next right thing, even though my heart here is saying, you fraud, you phony, you don't, you know, whatever. Just keep working at it, but also keep working on the heart. Don't use that as the fix. It's like when we take a medication to treat a symptom, but we need to still get to the root cause. So we might get a pain reliever for a broken leg, let's say, and that's welcome. It makes us feel better, probably changes our attitude. Has nothing to do with fixing the leg, though. And so the ultimate goal of the inventory is to fix the leg, but don't shy away from, I'm going to be a cranky pants until my leg is fixed, okay? I'm going to be cranky pants until my inventory is done and I'm cured and I'm recovered and all that, okay? Because you're just going to end up being a cranky pants. So don't do that. All right, fourth thing, our integrity. So relationship with others, dig in. Ask yourself some of those questions that I asked you. Look at some of those things to draw what's impacted your life. Look at what are your priorities and where have you put different things and where's God in that? And go maybe part by part of your life. It's easy for me to say God is over all. And then I go out and behave in a manner that puts God somewhere around third or fourth. I'm consulting with him on what I'm going to do. So I need to say, okay, in money issues, God is not first. I'm lying if I say he is. So I need to, but in my recovery, he is. Then we get to your attitude and finally integrity. And this is a big one for me. I struggle with integrity. I'm struggling now with integrity because I have it. Okay, it used to be I didn't have it, so I struggled with the concept of it because it did not come natural. Okay, I don't know where I got this idea of, you know, but I had no formal training. Let me put it this way: I had no formal training in deception and manipulation and lying, okay? That came naturally to me. I'm really good at it. You know, I don't know, it's a spiritual gift, I think. So integrity is something that was foreign to me. And as I've been in recovery and I've been walking in the vicinity of Jesus, sometimes right next to him, sometimes somewhere in the same county, integrity has grown. That transformation, and that's what we're talking about here in this next two lessons is a transformation. That's what happens when our heart changes, not behavior modification, but a transformation. Jesus has transformed me, so I'm at the stage now where I understand what integrity is, and it bugs me that I have to have it sometimes because it would be easier to lie, it would be easier to shortcut, it'd be easier to cheat and steal. And it might even be more beneficial, you know, for me at the immediate moment. Forget about the whole, my soul and long run and my heart. My heart is still got this tinges of, ooh, I could just do this. I could just lie and cut this corner, that type of thing. So it's for integrity. What do you, in past dealings in your life, have you been dishonest? That might be something you need to put on an inventory and potentially rectify with some amends. Way down the line. Don't get too ahead of ourselves. Have you stolen things? That was a big thing for me. I stole a lot of stuff because I didn't want to pay for it because I'm cheap, but I wanted it, so I just took it. So I had a lot of amends to make in that area. Have you exaggerated yourself to make yourself look better? I don't think it's possible for me to look any better than I am, but I probably have done that, okay? I'm just telling you. See right there. No, that was a that was my life. That would have been a great thing, you know, to put on my tombstone. He exaggerated himself to make him look better, and you know, half the time probably people didn't even buy it. But that was a huge. It was all image. It was all an act. It was all pretend. It's one of the reasons I don't like a lot of the virtual world we're living in. Because to me, it's like watching you on TV when I'm in a call or a Zoom call or something with you, and it's not real. I'm pretending. I'm not face to face with you in a recovery meeting, seeing your face, hearing your tone, you know, not amplified or anything. All of that. So, have you exaggerated yourself to make yourself look better? In what areas in the past have you used false humility? I phrase this in my life as I pretended to be just like you, just a regular guy, only a little better. Okay, that was me. The false humility, but I wasn't. I was in truth probably worse, not even up to your caliber, but I wanted to make myself think that I was that character of what I thought I was. But then I always had that little bit like judgment came in, but I'm a little bit better, you're doing that wrong, that type of thing. So false humility was a big one for me. I was in my first step study, I was amazed that most of the guys in there didn't struggle with that. I thought, what's wrong with them? You know, but that may be a Jack issue. And have you pretended to live one way in front of your Christian or recovery friends and another way in reality, going back to who your real character is? Are you somebody here on Wednesday night that you're not when it's Thursday night and you're at home? Or it's Sunday and it's church? Or do you even do church? Maybe you don't. So those are a couple things you can think about with your integrity. And as I just kind of said, this is a lot of information. And that's why we break this into two sections, because there's four more of these things coming next week. I would really encourage you to just, even if it's the basic bullet points, your relationship with others, your attitude, your integrity, and your, what did I say? I've forgotten what the heck I was even going here. Yes, thank you. My priorities, your priorities. Priorities, relationship with others, attitude, and integrity. Just even looking at those things and picking one to just really meditate on this week, to pray about this week, and see where that takes you, okay? For those of you that have done numerous inventories and you kind of know your areas, doesn't hurt to review or reflect on these. Because one of the things that I have to be careful of is to make sure I don't think I've got that. Check that off and move on. I need to come back to it. I mean, just even talking about the integrity issues tonight, I'm thinking, oh, geez, I've got so much work to do, and I was feeling so good before I came up here tonight, type thing. So revisit those. So as I say, we're going to continue on with four additional areas that I want you to dive into. It said we need to keep our inventories balanced. So as you go through these things, it is not all about all the crud that's there. What in your relationships is good? How's your disposition and your attitude that's good? What are priorities in your life that are good? Okay. And when have you acted with integrity, or where maybe that's not an issue for you, that type of thing, okay? So make sure that you're thinking about those things as well as you look into those four things. Remember, as it says in Isaiah 1:18, it says, "Come, let's talk this over," says the Lord, "no matter how deep the stain of your sins, I can take it out and make you as clean as freshly fallen snow. Even if you are stained as red as crimson, I can make you white as wool." You align your heart with Jesus, you can be fearless in this, okay? Remember, he did not die on the cross to fix a little character defect or a little behavior that you have. He died on the cross to fix your heart, okay? And so that's where we need to go in and get past good actions and everything. Once again, I don't want to mislead you and say that's wrong or bad, but that's why Jesus came, to fix our heart. Let me just close in prayer tonight. Father, thank you for everybody here tonight. Thank you for giving them the courage to begin this difficult step, or to resume, or to recommit, or to dig deeper of making an inventory. Father, I ask that you give them the desire and the strength they need to proceed in this. You are the encourager of encouragers, and I ask that you just encourage them and light their way with your truth. Lord, it is in your Son's name that I pray these things. Amen. 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 And thank you very much for your attention tonight.